Hello, and welcome to the Bloodshot Eyes and Sore Thumbs podcast. My name is Scott. I'm going to be your host today while Mr. Jacob has been held captive by the Olive Garden that he forgot to pay last night. So, it's just going to be me and Brent today. So, Brent, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm all right. I'll just say right up at the top, I apologize that my voice is gone. We had some sort of boxing tournament at the old flour sifting plant. So I was getting pretty hyped out in the crowd. Yeah. So my voice is gone. I apologize. I'm going to try to get through it, though.
All right. Well, I hear you, man. As long as you didn't volunteer your self as tribute in those boxing matches.
God, no. I don't need any more brain damage than I probably already have.
Well, I hear you, man. Well, so in case this is your first episode tuning in, we get together every week to talk about games and pretty much anything else that interests us. There's normally three of us. Jacob, he's out of town today, so he's not able to be on the show. We miss you, buddy. We're going to take this opportunity to turn this into an Overwatch podcast. 100%. Sorry, Brent, I forgot to tell you as well.
Yeah, that's full. I guess I'm here, so I guess let's do it.
Well, so speaking of Overwatch, we've got some news. We'll start off there. Overwatch has unveiled its latest character, Doomfist.
Man. Not voiced by Terry Crews, right?
Not voiced by Terry Crews, as a shocker to the internet. Yeah, he's nowhere to be found. So why was he at Blizzard? What was he doing?
Yeah, so what is the whole backstory with that? Like, why was it supposed to be Terry Crews?
I think it was one of those things the internet was just kind of saying he'd be a good fit for this Doomfist character because we'd seen kind of like pictures of him before, knew he was kind of like a big bad dude. So Terry Crews would be a good fit for that as always.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be a good fit for a small white girl. He's an amazing actor. he was spotted, like, I don't know, he tweeted or put a picture on Instagram of being down at Blizzard. So, of course, every conspiracy theorist is like, he's got to be the new voice. He's down there to record. And, you know, who knows why he was there? Maybe just doing a visit on a game that he likes. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, all that aside, Doomfist has been revealed. Awesome new attack character. They've put him in the PTR, the test servers. So you can go check him out right now. He's got a unbelievably crazy moveset.
Yeah, I was watching some gameplay with him, and like it seemed like in his left hand it was some sort of like shotgun kind of contraption coming out of his fist, and then his right hand was like a power swing.
You got it, man. And I haven't been able to play on the test servers at all, so I'm not, you know, I've watched some streams as well. So
yeah,
he looks like he has some sort of shotgun device in his hand, his left hand, giving kind of like new meaning to the word hand cannon, I guess.
Yeah.
His right hand is like this huge gauntlet, this big golden glove.
Yeah.
That if you're familiar with Overwatch, it's been kind of a symbol in the game for the past year. It's been on the map Numbani and in some of the cinematic shorts, so you're probably familiar with it. And yeah, he's got like a super charged up punch, kind of like a Reinhardt charge. And he's also got like an aerial uppercut to kind of like juggle people up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
He seems real mobile. You know, seems like a cool addition.
Yeah, like I don't know if he's like just OP right now, you know, before being released to the public, or whoever was playing with him was just awesome at the game. But he was dominating like all people all over the place with this guy, and I was like, Jesus, that looks a little intense.
Yeah, man, it's all over the place. I've been seeing videos pop up left and right on Twitter and Reddit, just, you know, people doing cool stuff with them. It's always real cool when a game like Overwatch, you know, not Overwatch specifically, but when any of these games get a new character, new content added, and kind of shake up how the game's played. It's kind of neat while everybody scrambles to figure out how to handle this new character.
Yeah, and the one guy that's been using him the whole time is just slaughtering everyone around him.
Right, right. Just sitting in his corner, practicing away. Punch, 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 punch.
Straight jab. Straight jab. Haymaker. Yeah.
Oh man, well, speaking of straight jabs, did you see this ARC price hike the other day?
I did see that. It went from 30 to 60?
I think so. I think like just a cool double.
Yep. I mean, from, you know, the early access to the full-fledged game that I guess it is now. I haven't played it myself. I've, you know, watched some streams and whatnot of people playing it. But obviously, this game has grown wildly since we could first play it. People seem to really enjoy their time in there, though.
Totally. And this is like a weird kind of, I don't know if precedent's the right word for it, but it's a weird kind of story in video games right now, right? Because, you know, ARK was released in early access on PC, and it was released on the preview program, which is like Xbox's early access.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe on Xbox it was $40. It's been $40 the whole time. It might be $30. Mm-hmm. But PC, I think, is $30. And, you know, they let you play the game early. You know, the game's not finished. You know, they're adding to it. They're patching it. They're, you know, working. When I first played ARK, it was, you know, it was a working game. You know, you could run around. There were dinosaurs. You could build huts. But looking at the game now, it's, you know, it's a completely different game. All types of stuff have changed. But I guess the real question is, you know, them just doubling the price of a game like that, it seems like, I guess it's such a tough pill for somebody to swallow, you know, who's been watching the game at $30 and now it's $60. But the game today is probably very similar to what the game is going to be in a month when the launch happens.
Right.
So, like, I guess it's just a like a weird movement in these early access games, you know, actually starting to finish up and get released. It's weird to watch.
I mean, so I guess ask it like this. Should we be mad that, you know, we pay early to play a game that's unfinished?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then when it's finished, then it goes up to $60. I mean, I'm playing PlayerUnknown's right now, and it's not a finished game. It's in early access right now. We're still working on it. But I'm still playing it. It's still a playable game right now. I'm probably not going to have to spend any more money on it because I have, you know, the version I do. I'm an early adopter. I guess you could call it that or whatever. But, I mean, if you're so excited about this game or that game and, you know, you want to play it, then go buy the early access. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, the one drawback that I've seen playing early access games is, yeah, like ARK's a perfect example. I got in there real early. There's not a lot of content, you know, structured content at least. You know, the sandbox is there. You know, you could do whatever you want, just mess around. But now that the game's a little bit more structured and, you know, that's kind of tightened up, I feel like I've already burnt out the time and energy that I wanted to play in ARK before it was finished. And now that it's done, I'm not as interested because I know what the game is, right?
Right.
You know, I've spent time in there before. And so I think there's that fine line of, you know, playing too early because you're excited about it and, and then, like, burning yourself out for the full launch.
Yeah.
Which PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is another perfect example because, like you said, it's still in early access. But, you know, the other day I saw that there, 4 million copies sold?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's one of the bigger games this year, and it's not even technically finished.
Yeah, and it's only been out, a couple months?
Yeah, it's a juggernaut. And, you know, you got to think, when that game is finished, you know, hopefully this year or, you know, at the start of next, is it going to be a $60 game? Or is it going to stay at 30? Or...
I think it's probably going to go up to 60, and I don't.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's coming to consoles, or at least Xbox X 420 no scope X. and if it comes to that at 60, I could see the frustration there because, you know, I only paid 30 for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like the price spike will go up on PCs as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. You know, like, I remember when Overwatch released, and On PC, it was $40, I believe, and consoles was $60.
Mm.
And the Overwatch team just blatantly came out and said, like, yeah, we wanted to release it at $40, but the console crowd would rather have a $60 game. Because there's that weird thing in the back of their head that if it's less than 60, it's not good.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind, but I'm sure that they have some science behind that.
Yeah, some numbers behind that. Wow, really?
Yeah, it's nuts. You know, it's pretty much the same game. You know, no difference. It's just less expensive on PC because they knew the PC crowd would, you know, search for the lowest price anyways, trying to get a key reseller or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
hey, dude, PCs aren't cheap to build. You got to buy games afterwards.
Yeah, I spent $2,000 building this rig, but I mean, I'm games. Playing Candy Crush on it because it's all I could afford.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, just to, you know, kind of finish up with the early access stuff, I think it's weird. And, you know, I think each game moving forward is kind of setting its own story, you know.
Yeah.
If Ark wants to be a full $60 game, you know, it's got to do it now. Can't do it later.
Yeah.
So, you know, good luck to them. It is an awesome game, and they've, you know, covered a lot of ground over the past year or two that they've been in early access. So, you know, I'm glad to see, you know, one of these big, huge games actually get out of early access.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of them just kind of, you know, sitting there and, you know, kind of slowly stop getting updated.
Yeah. I'll just say with it, do I disagree with the price jump? No, not particularly. But I will say that because the community grew so big behind this, because streamers started playing it and then bringing a lot of eyes and attention to this game, you know, the devs definitely, and I'm sure they have or will, they definitely have a big thank you to this community, because this game wouldn't have been done right now or if ever without, you know, the opportunities and the money that they were given. So
yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, that the, you know, I paid $40 for that game like a year and a half ago, I think. So
yeah,
you know, I know that that money supports them creating the game. So
yeah,
you know, I'm glad that it's coming out. I wish them the best of luck, and I gotta check out this tech stuff. It seems weird. Their tech tier stuff. It's like their future.
Oh, yeah, feature, yeah, yeah.
Like guns and armor and stuff. I gotta look into it, man. It's weird.
Yeah. Oh, and I will say, I believe that the DLC is still staying $20. I'm losing it. Do you remember what it's called, the DLC?
Oh, the Scorched Earth?
Scorched Earth, that's right. So that's not going up at all.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But see, with that, maybe make that $5. I don't know.
Maybe make it free. Maybe pay me $10 to play.
Yeah. Give me $10 back.
No, I mean, we're the first to understand that there's a lot of hard work that goes into this, and these companies
you
know, should make money. So
for sure.
It's just, it's weird to see these games in early access, you know, their price fluctuate so much. It's a weird thing in this industry that doesn't happen much. So
yeah, but when price fluctuates, shit goes down.
Yeah, you know, you're definitely going to be in the news one way or the other. And speaking of the other way of news, did you see this price drop on Oculus Rift?
Yeah, dude, speaking of price fluctuations, dropped to $400. Is that what I'm understanding correctly?
Yeah, so I think this is kind of a limited time thing. So if you're hearing this and you're wanting one of these, get on your computer and start Googling away.
Actually, Eagle, can you hold on 1 second? I need to check my bank account.
Yeah, so
okay, yeah,
so it's just
going to
be me on this
fine.
Episode. Yeah, Brent is going to Best Buy.
I'll be right back, guys. I'll be right back.
But yeah, so in the news this morning, I was starting to read some stories about the Oculus Rift virtual reality headset bundle with its touch controllers, the newer ones, which are what, like $160 or something like that?
Not cheap.
Yeah, they're expensive. But the Rift itself was like $600. I believe.
$799. I've looked at it hundreds of times.
Yeah, so price has been updating to a whopping $400. Huge slash in price for a limited time.
Yeah,
what do you
insane.
Think about this, man? This is getting closer to a range. That's like the price of a PSVR headset.
obviously it's for a limited time, so they're, you know, trying to get these out there more, even though I think a lot more people have them than I think. I think this is awesome. I'm legitimately thinking about getting on Amazon and buying one right now because I really do think that VR is the future. And if they can sustain this price, I'm not saying like the $400 because that's half off.
Yeah.
But like less than $800, you know, I think more people are going to want it and there's going to be more money in it. And then, you know, just that'll make everything just kind of come along easier. Cause I really do think VR is the future. So this gets me super hyped.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. You know, when these, the bigger headsets were coming out, you know, the Rift and the HTC Vive, you know, at their price points, the $600-$800, it's just, it was a little bit too high. And then having to know that you have to have a pretty beefy PC to run these, you know, that you're probably getting for at the lower end, probably $600 to $700, unless I'm mistaken.
No, you're spot on.
So, you know, you're looking at over a grand to play some VR games.
I mean, realistically about $2,000. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, looking through the store and, you know, watching the news on these things, they're not, you know, there's not as many VR games as there are, you know, just regular PC and console games. So it's kind of a weird place. But, you know, then you've got the developers sitting there like, there's not that many of these headsets out there. Why would we spend years and millions of dollars making games for it? So it's in a, you know, really weird spot. But a price drop to $400, that's a low price for what the tech is. Now, the one thing that popped into my mind seeing the price drop is, do you think there might be a new one coming?
That's a really good question.
The headsets have been out for maybe, what, a couple of years?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that even though the Vive is more expensive... Oh, I'm sorry. The Vive's 8. The Oculus was, what, 7? That's what you said. Sorry. But, like, I think the Vive honestly outsold it. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. But I feel like it did. And, I don't know, they're just trying to maybe get these out. Get them in people's hands. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be tough for a company like Oculus because they were purchased by Facebook.
Yeah.
And then, if you remember, when we were first starting up this show, like 20 episodes ago, Oculus was all in the news because they were in a lawsuit with ZeniMax. And then they ended up losing like $500 million lawsuit they had to pay to ZeniMax.
Yep.
So, you know, that's got to hurt them. And, you know, I'm sure with, if I'm not mistaken, there's less than a million of these headsets out in the wild. So for Oculus as like a publisher to go to a game developer, it's probably pretty tough to convince them that, hey, there's around a million of these out in the wild. You know, hopefully everybody will buy your game.
Right.
And, you know, that's the max. Whereas you look at PlayStation 4 that has, what, 60 million consoles? You know, that's probably a much easier sell for a developer. Like, hey, we've got VR. We don't have VR. You know, whichever you're looking for. But, you know, there's 60 million consoles out there. The chances of people buying your game are much greater.
Yeah. Sure.
So maybe the price cut is a good way for them to kind of say, hey, you know, we sold a whole bunch of them. People are interested. Make the games.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously the devices themselves aren't that expensive. It's just all the research that has gone into these, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what it's been looking like. And, you know, even looking at the tech, you've still got huge cords coming out of the back of your head, you know, hanging down by your legs. You know, these aren't even wireless yet. So, you know, who knows? Maybe there's a new version, new headset coming soon, a wireless one maybe.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure, you know, they're working on something.
Launch it for grand. Yeah. Well, we got one a tenth of the price. Summer of Rift. Whew. Well, yeah, so if you're interested in the Oculus Rift, check it out this summer. It's a limited time offer, but get out there. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Speaking of limited time things, looks like Open 4, the mod distributor for Grand Theft Auto, is back from its quick hiatus.
Yeah, they're back. I believe it was, 2 weeks ago we talked about how there was a cease and desist on mods for GTA 5 because of, I guess it could be boiled down to hackers and bullying. It feels weird to say that, but that's kind of what it was.
It's 2017. It doesn't feel weird to say anything anymore.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Donald Trump is president. That still feels weird. That still feels weird. Okay,
fair point.
Back to Grand Theft Auto. Taken.
So they're back. So single player mods, if you guys out there are into that thing, you shouldn't worry about that at all. The multiplayer mods is really what they're trying to keep under control, I would say, instead of people just running around, hacking other players' accounts and just making the game almost not playable or really not enjoyable.
Yeah, but, I don't think they're worried about you turning the gravity off in your game. I think they're more worried about you emptying another player's virtual bank account.
Yeah.
Which is to really troll other people.
Such a weird thing to say.
Again.
We got to stop these virtual bank robbers. Real money? No. Well, actually, I guess no. Yeah, there is some real money in it because, you can buy the cards with your real money and then get the virtual money. So, okay, actually, I get it. Fair enough.
Yeah. And, it's mods put a game like Grand Theft Auto in a weird place. Because it's a platform for mods. It lets people, do all sorts of crazy stuff, especially with a program like Open 4.
Yeah.
But when you take it too far and start affecting other players' experiences, is I think what they're trying to protect. This is one of the most popular games in the world. They've got a lot of people playing. So. It was tough to see the big sweeping, cease and desist, hit the mod scene a couple weeks ago, but it's really awesome to see them backtrack, a little bit, like a reasonable backtrack.
Right.
It's still not the Wild West out there, but, if you want Thomas the Tank Engine trains as your semis, go ahead, baby. You got it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so silly, but so accurate.
It is.
Yeah, because I think mods in GTA 5 is important to not me, but I know it's important to people, and the stuff that they can do in there is quite remarkable, honestly. Like just texture updates.
Like
4K mods. Like that's the community doing this. That's not the devs at all. And I bet it's pretty cool to sit back and then watch other people not really make your game better, but enhance it in some way. But that's crazy to watch.
Yeah, just riff on it.
Yeah.
What this game has become, when the community gets the keys to it. It's pretty interesting.
I mean, GTAs always go down in history as insane games one way or the other, but GTA 5, man, this feels like a whole new monster.
Yeah. Can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, boy. It was delayed once. It'll be delayed again. Mark my words.
Coming out next week. Confirmed right here.
Coming out in 2025. Confirmed right here. So something else that was going on this week was Games Done Quick.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, they're done pretty quick, man.
They are done insanely quick. I haven't played Portal 2, but is 45 minutes quick to you, Eagle?
I played it again, last month, I think, on a whim, and it took me like 8 hours. So, I would say 45 minutes is a little bit ridiculous. I don't know where he's putting those portals, but goodness gracious.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, what Game Zone Quick is, every summer, a bunch of gamers from, I believe, around the world, all come together in one sweaty
hotel conference room,
stinky, sticky hotel conference room, and they speedrun hundreds of video games. This year they had 181 runs. I don't know if that's specific to games, but there was 181 runs, and they do this all for charity. They raise money. They live stream the whole thing on Twitch and I'm sure other places. Mm-hmm. And the money that comes in from that, they give it away to charity. Eagle, what was the charity this year?
I think it was Doctors Without Borders. So just an organization for doctors to get into some behind-the-lines type places to help unfortunate. So
yeah,
an awesome, awesome organization.
Yeah,
And they sure raised a pretty penny this year.
They did. So in the 181 runs, so I'm assuming that's just saying, you know, one person playing one game, that's one run.
Yeah.
They raised $2.2 million.
Yeah. Jeez. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it sounds insane to say. But yeah, kids speed running video games that they've played hundreds and hundreds of times, some new, some old. Raised $2.2 million. So I put Eagle on the task of crunching these numbers. Eagle, I hope this is right. So out of 181 runs, that's around $11,000 per run.
It's unbelievable. All for charity, just people, yep. You know, donating from the streams, little bits here and there. You know, we looked through some of the donations and, you know, it was $5 here, $5 there, $100 here, $100 there. It was pretty awesome to see, you know, how much money they raised, you know, as a community.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, what did I say? It was around 42,000 donators that raised $2.2 million. So
it's awesome.
Yeah. There's probably a couple $10,000 donations in there somewhere.
Oh, you know it. Some big white whales.
Yeah. But, dude, for those of you that have heard of speedrunning and you roll your eyes, hey, me too. You know, I'm not into watching Zelda be broken in half and beat in 20 minutes with glitching and all this stuff, but that's what these people do, and it's a big community. People respect some of these speedrunners, and I think we should respect them as well, because what they do here, what they've done, is remarkable. You know, you don't see any other, obviously not any, but you know, you don't see like gamers coming together and raising $2 million for
over the
strangers
course of a weekend. Yeah,
yeah, you know, a weekend, that's insane. And obviously that's awesome for the people that donated and supported the whole thing, but yeah, just kind of crazy that the gaming community is capable of. I think the rest of the world kind of doubts that a lot of the time.
It's pretty nuts. I mean, some of the things that they were pulling off was crazy. Just like you were saying, Brent, you know, them kind of sequence breaking these games and, you know, glitching their way through them. Like, I don't know. One of the Zeldas I saw one guy beat in like an hour or so without even picking up a sword. Like all the dungeons and everything. I'm like, how is this guy doing this?
Yeah.
And like you said, yeah, Portal 2 was beaten in, you know, 45 minutes and 19 seconds. I mean, it is crazy. I mean, you must be skipping huge chunks of that game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when, you know, you master a video game.
Yeah. And, I see also that the new Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, new world record, 45 minutes.
45 minutes. I've talked to my buddy that I work with at the test dummy crashing facility. We are the test dummies most of the time.
I am the car.
Yeah. you know, he was like a month in and still hadn't beat it. And this dude did it in a sitting without a pee break.
It's like, unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Well, that makes me all the more excited for my Switch to arrive this week.
No way.
Hey.
He did it, guys. He pulled the trigger.
I did it, man. I did it. I bought one. It's coming.
After all that shit we talked. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
All that shit Jacob talked. Okay.
I was involved with it as well.
True. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I bought a Nintendo Switch. It's on the way, so I can experience this Zelda madness, maybe some Mario Kart madness. I'm hyped. I'll keep everybody posted.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about it. I don't know. It's fine. I like the Switch. It's a thing. Eagle has it now, so I guess I have to like it even more.
It's all right. I roll.
Yeah. But yeah, well, dude, I bet you're super hyped about this.
I am. You know, new console is always exciting.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've had Nintendo. The last Nintendo that I owned was a GameCube. So I didn't have a Wii or a Wii U, and haven't had a handheld from them. So I'm just excited to be back. You know, I love Mario, and I like a lot of the Nintendo titles. So that new Splatoon looks real tight.
Yeah.
Like real tight. But shoot. So this week you've been playing a little Nintendo, haven't you?
Yeah, so, dude, I love my 3DS. These things are so damn cool. I'm not going to lie. Like, when I heard about the Switch, I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. But then I kind of, like, lost interest. And I was like, why don't you make a better 3DS? I guess the Switch is, but, you know,
what
it's
is
not.
It? What is it, like, the folding lid? Is that what does it?
Yeah, it's all, like, snappy. Like, listen to it. Oh, that's nice. Wow.
Stop cracking your toes in the microphone.
No, just, I don't know. I think it was really well made. I don't know. It just works really well with like the little, I don't know, nipple controller up in the top right and the bigger nipple on the left. And
we're still D-pad. Talking about the 3DS, right?
Oh, were we? Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Put the cat down. Put the cat down.
But yeah, it just feels good in the hand and everything. And yeah, so it was my buddy's birthday, and I bought him and myself a copy of Monster Hunter Generations. Woo! I told you guys, Jacob was talking about Monster Hunter Worlds. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's the new one coming to consoles next year.
Yeah, Worlds. If you guys haven't seen the trailers for that, it's coming to consoles from the handhelds. Go check it out. It looks pretty incredible.
Looks awesome. I'm hyped.
Yeah, so Jacob was talking about it the other week, and I said on the podcast, I was like, all right, you sold me. I'm going to go get it for my 3DS. And I did. So I bought myself and my buddy a copy so we can kind of play together. Because that's one thing. I can play with him. He lives on almost the other side of the city, and I can play with him sitting right here just over Wi-Fi. And it's cool, man. That's really awesome.
That is tight.
But I will say, wow, these games are way more difficult than I was expecting.
Yeah?
Yeah, like insanely more difficult. I'm not saying it's an impossible game, but I didn't expect to have much difficulty. Obviously, there's going to be a learning curve, but yeah, it's pretty hard, but in a good way. I'm feeling myself kind of getting frustrated, frustrated to the point that I want to progress. I want to get better. You know what I mean? Just kind of have a little anger behind me, and that's pushing me forward. And it's kind of complex. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of little people you can talk to, and a few villages to add even more people in confusion to go into. You know, just kind of quirky Japanese stuff like that. There's a lot to dive into, but I'm slowly digesting it. My brain's been kind of fried when I've been playing it.
Yeah, and I'm no Monster Hunter expert. I've never played any of them, but like the whole idea of it is to kind of like gather info about a hunt, get yourself ready, and go take down a big monster.
Yeah, pretty much. And what I didn't really expect is I feel like, I don't know, weird saying this, but there's no health bars for the monsters, and for whatever reason that initially threw me off. So
like you just chop away and just hope you're whittling down at them, or do they kind of show
pretty much. So ones? Yeah, they'll show, like, you know, you can kind of see them getting tired, or I have like a little cat companion buddy, and he'll be like, oh, they're retreating, they must be tired, or blah blah blah, this or that.
Right.
I mean, but dude, I'm wailing on these things for like 40 minutes legitimately like wailing, and it's like, is this thing going down ever? And I'm chasing it across the map. So yeah, that was a little strange to me, but I don't know, it works.
That's cool. I mean, I watched like a extended like 20-minute gameplay of the newer one coming to console, Worlds. Yeah. And yeah, one thing that I noticed real quick watching them play through the game is the complexity of I'm eating this. I'm using this trap to snare this. I'm luring him to this place because there might be a bigger predator that will attack him so I can take a chance to heal or change my outfit.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, okay, so it's not just like find the weak spot and, you know, attack it.
Yeah, hit it five times, and they go down, and then you get a critical, and then it's over. No, it's just, yeah, like you're running across these pretty large maps. I mean, nothing crazy, but yeah, and just kind of wailing on this thing. It'll run, or you'll have to retreat. Yeah.
That's real tight.
I didn't expect this. It's different. It's definitely different than I thought I was going into, for right. sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I'm really excited for the new one. I hope the Generations continues to be cool for you.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Hmm. Well, so this week I tried out a few of the Xbox Games with Gold free games.
Yeah.
has become my MO, I guess.
I mean, hey, free stuff.
Yeah, can't complain. It's the right price for me. So the first one I checked out was Kane and Lynch 2 from the Xbox 360. It's part of the backwards compatibility program, I believe.
Yeah.
But so I didn't play the first one. I remember when the first one released, I'm kind of making a big deal of like the cinematic feel of it. You know?
Yeah.
More like a movie than a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So this one kind of starts the same way, like real heavily, cinematic, you know, it kind of, everything looks like it's filmed from like a Sony Handycam.
Like, yeah.
Just like real rough, kind of shaky, you know, kind of got the scan lines kind of filtering through it every now and then.
Yeah.
Which, to be quite honest, I am not somebody who gets any type of motion sickness, but this game had my head swimming. It was made me real nauseous playing it because of the like bobbing of the camera as you walked around. But I'm going to give it more of a shot because it was really neat. Opens like really strong with some cool story stuff happening. Like you have this guy coming in and you botch this job, you know, trying to get some money from a guy, and it turns into this like crazy gunfight.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're looking for something for free to check out, I'd definitely look at that one.
Okay.
Did you ever play any of the Kane and Lynch's?
No. It's just like a couple of ruffians that like do, I don't know, crime, right?
Definitely crime ruffians. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it seems like two buddies that work for, I don't know if it's like the mob or just some dude, but yeah, you're running jobs. But Kane and Lynch 2, I don't know if it's in the other games. I know they have some cool multiplayer hooks to where like you can kind of do the game co-op, but at the end of the levels and stuff, you can like sell out your partner. Like if me and you were playing, I could shoot you in the back type of stuff.
Right. I think I heard like one of the rarest achievements ever was from a Kane Lynch game, I believe. Because I think the servers got shut down
or yeah, something. That wouldn't surprise me, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. A lot of achievements get trapped like that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I follow Far Cry, their subreddit, and everybody's constantly looking for a help in Far Cry 4, I think. You need to co-op with somebody. It's like a 15-minute mission. Yeah. But, you know, everybody just needs a person to sign on and help them out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Kane and Lynch 2, I don't know, man. Story looks cool, but the way that camera's shot, it's really weird. Maybe that was just me, and I was kind of playing it in the morning. So maybe try that this afternoon. Give it another shot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I also tried out another Games with Gold game this week, Dragon Age Origins.
Oh, yeah.
Might have heard of that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I played the. I think they released a demo before this one came out, and I played through the demo.
Oh yeah, so yeah.
Felt Witchery to me. Is that accurate at all?
Kind of.
Am I just saying words?
Yeah. No. You got it. It kind of looks like a World of Warcraft like look.
Yeah.
But yeah, Witchery kind of walking around. It is. It's made by BioWare. You know the mm-hmm. dudes that did Mass Effect and Knights of the Old Republic. So it's got that standard,
right.
like dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, choosing your responses from a list, and getting a different reaction out of the guy you're talking to. So you know, I played a few hours of it. It was pretty neat. Story seems weird. Kind of like a weird take on the Gladiator story.
Yeah.
Like the Russell Crowe movie.
Right, right.
But it's kind of neat. I can see why people like it. Because it seems like you can bend this story and branch, like go down different branches to see like how people react to you differently. So that was kind of neat.
Right. And that was from Xbox 360 as well?
Yeah. Same thing. It's the yeah. other backwards compatible one. Yeah, it's pretty neat. Runs well, looks pretty good on the one. So, again, definitely check that one out.
Yeah, right on.
Mm.
You think you're gonna really run through the whole game?
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's gonna capture me like that.
Yeah, because like the demo, I played it and I was like, yeah, no, I'll avoid this one. But, you know, no offense, but.
Well, I think if I had. Like an open slot of time, like where I wasn't playing a game or something, I think it could be like a good, like meaty story to chew on for a while.
Yeah, something to really dive into.
Yeah, but I got plenty of games on the plate.
Yeah.
You know, so it's way on the back burner. You know, it's one of those things I'll probably like leave installed on the external hard drive, you know, just if a rainy day strikes, you know, pop it on and, you know, check a little bit more out.
Yeah, that's what I have Watch Dogs for, because that was free with gold a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I played the beginning, and then I was like, okay, this is clearly a game that I need to really sit down and pay attention to. So yeah, I feel you on that one.
And you just want to play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, huh?
Yeah, kind of. Dude, it's seriously so addicting.
I bet. How's it been going this week for you, man? You sinking your teeth into it?
Oh, dude, for sure. Into that sweet, sweet chicken dinner, dude. I've been winning.
Do you like the chicken dinner with gravy or like mashed potatoes? What's your ideal chicken dinner look like? That's the question.
It would be crispy skin. I'm talking crispy skin. I got big...
Like fry it, take it out, and then just fry it again, please?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then I got a big bowl of mashed potatoes and gravy.
Ooh.
And then I'll just take some sweet corn and some peas and just toss it right in that little gravy volcano of that mashed potatoes. That's it. Maybe and then a glass of milk.
Ooh. Just going full on cholesterol, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I weigh 380 pounds. It's fine though.
I can't fit in chairs.
I've been working out, but yeah. So I've been playing more PlayerUnknown's. It's so addicting. I'm sorry. It's amazing. But I will say I did give my girlfriend a chance to sit down in front of my battle station here, because
did she win some chicken dinner, or did you mercifully put her on a different game?
God, no. I put her on a different game. From the Steam Summer Sale, I picked up a little game called Firewatch for relatively cheap.
From the boys over at Campo Santos.
Yeah. You might have heard us talk about Firewatch before. I'm trying to get Jacob to play it. Yeah,
it's on my to-do list.
Oh, it should be. I picked it up on a summer sale for pretty cheap. I think only maybe $6.
That's awesome.
And the reason I got it is because I really want my girlfriend to play it. Please don't take this the wrong way, but it's a story definitely driven by emotion, and I think the ladies would really like this game because it's really heart-wrenching at some points. And I've already watched it played like three different times because, you know, different actions will cause the game to do different endings and things like that. So I watched a couple people play through it. So I bought it for her. I sat her down, gave her the mouse and keyboard, and she kind of looked at me and said, "What is this?" She's used to playing on Xbox. yeah. I showed her kind of how to use the controls, and yeah, she got through the first hour of it.
That's cool. What'd she think?
Again, she's struggling with the mouse and keyboard.
That's complicated, especially coming from a gamepad like that.
Yeah, and I plugged in the controller for her to use because, you know, she's used to that. But for whatever reason, whenever the things will pop up on the screen to, you know, say, press whatever to do this, it keeps giving the keyboard controls.
So I might have to, like, press shift to open the door and stuff like that.
Yeah, instead of, like, A or B or things like that. Right. So I'll have to figure that out so she can just play a little more easy. But, you know, it's the first hour of the game, just kind of learning what it's about. She needs to do a little better with her map and compass and just kind of remember what direction she's going in. But
That's like one of the hooks in that game, right? It's kind of navigation.
Yeah. So I guess I can just say what it's about for the most part.
I'm thinking you just kind of like, is it like one of those Yule log things where you just watch a log burning for like Christmas dinner type of thing?
No. So you're a guy and you get a new job in a fire tower, which for those of you who don't know, they're these very, very tall towers in the middle of forests to look out for forest fires. So you'd be the first person to, you know, call in a forest fire so you can get the right people can get it under control. It's set in the 80s, so there's no cell phones and there's no telephones where you're at because you are in the middle of the woods. You hiked for 2 days to get to where you are. So all you have is a radio, and the only person you're talking to is someone in a fire tower miles away. You can see it way off in the distance, but you'll never even get close to her. And you just kind of do your little daily tasks while talking to her, and she helps you figure out what you do, and yeah, all about that relationship. And then maybe some weird stuff happens throughout, but it's a really emotionally driven and a really story heavy based game, but it's truly, truly awesome.
It's really got a pretty look to it too.
Oh yeah, it's like I guess it'd be cell shading, right?
Yeah, I'm bad at that because I don't know what technically makes cell shading. I know somebody told me Borderlands was, and
yeah,
it's kind of like that drawn polygon kind of look.
Yeah, a little prettier than Borderlands in my eyes, though.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, but if anyone runs into Firewatch and you haven't played it yet, please do. Don't look any more into it. Just go buy it and play it. It's a really good game.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing I was told. It was like, don't research the story. Just like go play it, experience it.
And it's not terribly long either. I mean, maybe if you get real lost, it'll take you 8 hours.
Okay. I get lost in the woods. Weird stuff happens, you know.
Yeah.
It's all right. Well, cool, man. Well, yeah. Firewatch, I'm definitely going to hop on that here soon. I remember when it came out. Made a big splash.
Yeah. I'll keep you guys updated and see if she makes it through. I kind of had to help her with, you know, a few things. But, yeah, I'll keep you guys updated. I think she's really going to like it.
And those kind of games can be fun to kind of play with a spiritual advisor.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not saying go here, do this. I'm like, wait, stop, think about this. Think about it this way. Or
yeah. You know. Help somebody chew through the story that, you know, see things they might miss.
Yeah.
Because, that's something that, you know, people like us take for granted, having played games, you know, all our lives. It's like, if I see a waterfall, I'm walking inside that waterfall because I know there's a secret in there.
Yep, and every time, yeah.
You know, my girlfriend's looking at me like, why are you in the waterfall?
Yeah.
Like, well, there's always something in here.
There it is. How do you know? Well, because I do.
I've been in enough waterfalls, damn it. I played Halo. I had to find those skulls.
Yeah. God. Yeah, but like the one thing I liked about Firewatch, I guess I should admit, I never played it. I just watched people play it because I like to pump the A button to get through the story. But yeah. Firewatch forces you to know the story. And I really liked how that worked. You know,
well,
while
a narrative game like that, that would definitely be the game itself, right? Is to experience the story.
Yeah, but it's not like one of those narrative games where you walk up, hit A, stop, have them talk, and then your dialogue wheel comes up. You're walking while she's talking to you on the radio, and you can, you know, hit the button while you're still walking to wherever you're going and hiking or doing whatever, and then scroll while doing all these other things. It's different than most dialogue heavy games.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really, really good way.
Yeah, we'll check that out. We'll put that on the to-do list. All right, listeners, Firewatch to-do list. Let me know how it is. Hit us up on Twitter. All right, well, so we'll round out the show. I played another Games with Gold game.
I had a
free play days this weekend.
One I'm very fond of.
Hey, the Game of the Year edition of Middle-earth, Shadow of Mordor.
It's a mouthful, huh?
Gosh, man, it's like I have to have it written down so I can say it correctly.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's going to be like more Shadows of Dor Wars of Earth. Yeah. What? Lord of the Rings game. You know.
I feel like you've probably said Shadow of War more than Shadow of Mordor in total.
I know. But anyways, yes, this was the game Middle-earth, Shadow of Mordor. Came out a couple years ago. It is a sequel coming out this fall, which is Shadow of War.
Yeah.
Ugh. So they let this game be downloaded and played for free for like 5 days this week, kind of building up a little hype for the new game coming out this fall.
Yeah.
Because in the news recently, they said, in the first game, Shadow of Mordor, there's this nemesis system that is kind of like the crown jewel of that game, right? You know, that's the cool system in it. And that's coming to the next game. And one of the cool things that they announced this week is that you can import your nemesis from the first game into the next sequel.
Is that right?
You totally can.
Huh. That's pretty badass.
Is it? Because that nemesis system was pissing me off this week.
I mean,
calm me down, man. Talk me off this ledge, because I don't know. Like, there were things that I really, really liked about this game, and there were things that really got under my skin.
I mean, I'll say that once you really get a hold of the game and know what you're doing and you progress, it becomes a little less confusing and frustrating, to the point some people have, like, the nemesis system down where they have all of the captains under their control, max level. You know, and they've really figured out what it is. So, yeah, man. I mean, so a lot of people worked really hard on their nemesis system. And to be able to port that over, I think is really cool, actually.
Yeah.
For
I think that is a
some people. Like, am I excited about it? No, but I'm excited that it exists.
Right. I can, you playing enough of the game can see why somebody would want this.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. And so, yeah, to kind of, to explain that a little bit, I know we've touched on it before when we talked about the announcement of Shadow of War, the sequel. In this game, the combat felt like a weird mix between like a Batman, like Arkham Knight style combat, and something out of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to describe it.
Yeah, like I was climbing up towers and like jumping off of them at great heights, but while I was fighting, everybody who was about to hit me had a big Y button appear over their head that
yeah,
I could just counter and go on like 50 hit combos.
Yeah.
It was nuts. But so this nemesis system, you know, so I'll preface this with, I only played for a few hours this week, maybe 5 or 6. You know, Brent, you've played a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, in the starting areas and stuff, you'd, you know, kind of venture out from your spawn, and there'd be like some sort of captain or somebody in charge of this area, and you could get into a fight with them, and if you beat them, like, they will be replaced with like a newer recruit, right?
Yeah. And that recruit will level up.
Right. And then if you lose, if this, you know, war chief or whatever captain, you know, kills you, he will level up and be stronger, potentially even getting promoted to another area.
Yeah.
It's very weird, like corporate ladder going on in Mordor.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what do these orcs' resumes look like? I killed Talion 15 times while he was learning to counter.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, I bet it did.
I leveled up the terror of flesh like 15 times trying to learn. It was rough. He's in charge of all of Mordor now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
But that was also, like, as cool as it was also something that was kind of annoying me in that, you know, I'd get into a fight with somebody who was a little bit stronger than I was, and mm-hmm. I'd lose, and he becomes stronger.
Yeah.
So it's like, not only is this fight going to get any easier, it's going the other way. It's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So talk me down, man. How does that get better?
I mean, I'll say it gets better just as you progress, that your skill set goes up. So I don't want
to
say like
to handle them.
Yeah. Like you, yeah, exactly. You have more at your disposal to handle them. And I don't want to say like the game becomes easy, but you know, like Assassin's Creed, eventually you know how to handle each person, and it just comes down to you doing it.
Yeah, a large group of people doesn't scare you. It's just like, I got to counter and counter and counter and go and go and go.
Yeah, and then, you know, some of the war chiefs, they're immune to this or weak to this, blah, blah, blah. You have to do your research on some of them to know their weaknesses and their strengths, which is cool because it's kind of in, like, you'll see, like, an outpost or whatnot, and you'll use your, like, elf vision or whatever, and it'll kind of highlight
Wraith form.
Wraith form, thank you. And it'll kind of highlight one of the orcs, and you'll be able to grab them up and get information out of them, and you can pick any one of the captains to get information of their weaknesses and strengths on. So, yeah, but I mean, that honestly comes much more fluidly than it sounds like. You have to go and find this guy. You just kind of find him along the way to each different mission and things like that.
Yeah, I stumbled across a few guys like that and, you know, would, you know, pull them into the bushes like I was going to give them a smooch.
Yeah.
and I was, you know, put my hand on their face and then mm-hmm. burnt them into submission.
Yep.
And like, yeah, it was like some cool information about a captain who is afraid of fire, mm-hmm. and like he had vulnerabilities to range attacks. So it was like, all right, so if I'm going to get in a fight with this guy, I should probably hit him with the arrow, and I should probably bring some fire,
mm-hmm.
And he'll be scared out of his pants.
Yeah,
and it totally worked, right? You know, hit him with an arrow. He's like at half health. You know, brought fire as like a rune on my weapon, and mm-hmm. yeah, totally just laid him down. It's like, oh, I see. Like, if you're prepared with information, these guys can probably get pretty easy.
Yeah,
as you go through them.
Yeah,
that's cool. I think it's a really neat game. I'm interested to check out the new one. The new one looks flashy.
Oh, I am crazy hyped for Shadow of War. I cannot wait. I truly, truly did love Shadow of Mordor a lot. I put a lot of time into it when it came out. And recently went through some of the DLC because apparently I have the Ultimate Edition, but I definitely don't, but I have all the DLC somehow. Hey, so, cool.
Take you where you can get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the free play days for Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor, I believe, ended yesterday. But it's heavily discounted. I think I saw it on sale for like $4 on the Xbox. So
go get that. That is so worth it, in my opinion. Go get it then.
I would agree. $4 was a good price for that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this week we decided, since we were talking a little bit about Shadow of Mordor and the new ones coming out here in maybe what, a couple months? We would do Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor for Overachievers this week.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So we round out the show each week with a little section called Overachievers, where we pull up, this week we're using the Xbox achievements for Shadow of Mordor. And we look at some of the rarest ones as well as some of the most common achievements unlocked by players. So let's jump right into this.
And kind of lose faith in the gaming community.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Actually, a lot of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Some of these are tough, though.
Yeah.
All right, so the most common achievement in Middle-earth is you will obey, and that is to make Uruk yours. It's kind of like you're the first, what is he, a captain or orc you come across?
Yeah, pretty much tutorial stuff. First
mind meld him
5 minutes of the game, if even that.
Yeah, this was like in the opening cutscene style area. But this achievement has been unlocked by 79.56% of players. So lower than I would have thought.
20% of people, I guess, just got right up to that cutscene and was like, you know what? No, fuck this game and turned it off. And never
I will say,
it back on.
I did watch my son and my wife's throat get like graphically slit in the first like 2 minutes of that game.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty harsh to watch. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe, I was right, like, I whoa, we're really going there, like right off the jump.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, it's pretty violent.
Oh, very.
Small child, by the way, not like.
Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah. Congratulations to 80% of people who made it through that. Yeah. You get a gold star.
Mm.
All right, so moving on, we'll look at the achievement Memories of, and help me with this Middle Earth. Is it Aragon or Aragian?
Yeah, Aragon. You got it.
Aragon? Okay. There's eyes where there shouldn't be eyes, mm-hmm. Listeners. There's a lot of vowels in this word. But that is the achievement to activate all Forge Towers.
Yeah.
Which reminded me a lot of like the Assassin's Creed, like vantage points.
Yeah, but the Forge Towers are kind of like your home bases. So like if you die, you'll go to one of these towers, and I'm pretty sure you can, if my memory serves me correctly, you can teleport in between all of them.
Yeah, you sure can. You sure can.
Because you're a ghost, and also a dude.
You're banished from death, you ranger.
Yeah. You are the ghost of the elf who made the One Ring to rule them all, and so you kind of took over a man's body.
Sure did.
Yeah, it's cooler. It's cooler than it sounds.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of.
Not what it looks like. Anyway, so the Memories of Aragon achievement was achieved by 21.32% of gamers. Which, that's a tough one. I mean, going around, right? There was like 10 of them.
I mean, yeah, that's you know, pretty much clearing out the whole map.
Yeah, yeah. That was the completionist one. But so moving on a little bit, we have the achievement Agrog's Heal, which is to capitalize on a war chief's fear. Which we talked a little bit about that earlier, yeah, about like gaining some intelligence, like this guy hates spiders or mm-hmm. He's weak to fire and stuff like that. So unlocking that achievement would be like bringing spiders to the fight with a dude who's scared of spiders.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or okay. Like the mounts, you know, they're like some of the captains are afraid of like these like dog mounts that you can ride. They'll be like afraid of them and run away.
Like the Caragors.
Caragors, thank you, yeah.
Hey.
I haven't played this game, the vanilla game, in quite some time.
And I played yesterday for the first time, so I'm fresh. Yeah. Here we go. I read a lot of codexes.
Yeah.
But so that is to that achievement, capitalizing on a war chief's fear, was completed by only 18.72% of gamers.
That's insane. Like, I don't even know how that is right.
I like how 80% of people didn't figure out that there's an easier way to do that.
Right. Yeah, like that is so important if you're going to progress in this game. Like, you really mm-hmm. need to know these things.
You're not wrong. So the next achievement is a new master, and that is unlocked for branding a captain while in combat.
Yeah.
Now that is, when you brand a captain, is that kind of like when you take them under your control?
Yeah, when you like grab their face up and then they're like on your side essentially, and
right.
They'll fight for you. Mm. Yeah, and so like this is hard because usually when you're finding a captain, there's a lot of other people around you, and to be able to get your like hit combo up and to get the captain's health down and not to get hit while doing all of that, and then be able to snatch him up is pretty difficult, I would say.
Yeah.
Doable, but difficult.
It was a smaller achievement at 23.96% completion, so it was a fairly rare one out there.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of branding those captains, moving on to some of the rarer ones. Mm-hmm. Now, we took a look at only the ones in the vanilla game. We didn't take a look at the DLC. Some of the DLC achievements were very rare. So
yeah.
Go buy those. Get those numbers up, guys. but sponsor. So for this achievement, no power in numbers. This one's crazy. So you have to help a captain survive a recruitment power struggle and then kill him and all his new recruits.
Yeah. Which is so funny. So like in this game, like I said, you can take these captains under your control and then you can kind of start these power struggles as like a mission. So it'll be like, you know, the captain under your control versus one of the other captains in the Nemesis system. And like kind of their two gangs will come together. So you can then help one guy and then help one guy kill all these other guys and then just slaughter all of them just to stab him in the back. What did you say, Eagle, like the biggest stab in the back?
Yeah, like help him rise to power and then cut them all down?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's nuts.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just it's kind of fun to do in the game.
I mean, just having orcs work for you, I guess.
Yeah.
well, that was a very, very rare achievement, being completed by only 2.18% of players.
Yeah.
I mean, rare. Which, I mean, seems convoluted and tough. Yeah, so this is very rare.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that one, and that's just kind of a silly thing to do. I mean, you can, just if you're just out goofing around and having fun, just killing all these ugly mothers out there. They're really ugly though, seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're not cute guys. Alright. Well, let's move into the rarest of the rare, the overachiever themselves. This is the White Rider.
Yeah.
This was to liberate 30 slaves in 3 minutes while riding a Caragor.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. It has to be mission specific, I would assume.
Maybe. And you know, I freed a couple slaves fighting around, doing 30 of them in 3 minutes while riding a Caragor. That seems crazy.
Yeah, I don't really get this one, but whatever.
But it is the rarest of the rarest. Less than 1% of players completed this.
Yeah.
0.99%.
Not even one.
So you overachievers out there riding your Caragors, liberating slaves with your Abe Lincoln top hat on, good on you. Thank you for doing God's work.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, so that'll do it for overachievers. Thanks for sticking by for that segment. If you have any ideas of a game that you'd like to hear on that where we do a little research on them, send them in. At our Twitter or our email. Email is at edgystances@gmail.com. Twitter is just at edgystances. So yeah, send in any ideas. If you want to talk about the show or anything too, please post or tweet. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And you can go to edgystances.squarespace.com and that you'll find everything else there, links out to all of our other stuff. You can shoot us an email from there as well. And obviously listen to the shows there or, you know, get them, iTunes, whatever pod catching app you guys use.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your friends.
If you're hearing this, you did a good job so far.
Yeah.
You made it. Congratulations.
Now just share that love.
Share that love. Leave a review. iTunes is a great place to do that. 5 stars would make me smile.
It does.
I'm smiling anyways, though. You couldn't stop it if you tried.
Yeah. Just smile bigger until his smile would wrap all the way around his head.
Yeah. You want to know how I got these scars? Podcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
Podcasting gave me these scars. All right. Yeah. Well, so that's the credentials. Brent, where can the people find you? You doing any streaming maybe or?
Yeah, I'll probably be streaming on Edgy Stance's stream on Mixer. I've been just hanging out there. You'll see me playing some Player Unknowns. If Jackie really gets a hold of the Firewatch and she likes it, I might not tell her that she's streaming, but
secret stream.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. But yeah, just catch me at Edgy Stances on Mixer. Yeah, that's where I'm mostly residing these days. Just hanging out there, trying to promote the show, and so you guys know where to find us. Yeah,
and I stream on Mixer as well, mixer.com/besteaglealive. You can find me there, Best Eagle Alive on Twitter. We can have a chit-chat about some great games.
Yeah.
And the Nemesis system. I need to figure this out before the new one comes out.
I honestly think if you do dive into it a little more, you'll enjoy it.
I'll agree. We'll check it out. Well, let's get out of this booth, Mr. Brent. I see some big, tough-looking rappers standing behind me, ready to go.
Yeah. Okay. We're wrapping up right now, guys. All right.
All right. And so for Brent and Mr. Best Jacob Alive, who couldn't be here today, I guess he would probably tell you to stay embered.
Yeah, I assume he would. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'll come back next week, Jacob. We need your guidance.
Yeah. I'll just give the people a kiss. There you go.
Oh, and I hope you have the best day you've ever had.
Goodbye.